Anthem's demo had serious server issues, but they're not as avoidable as you think. Plus, Metroid Prime 4's development is completely restarting. Tonight is January 27th, 2019, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Hello, everybody. It's me, who almost forgot to hit record. Really, like, I usually start recording about 30 seconds before the show. No, like 2 seconds. Hello, and welcome to an actually recorded edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us live on Twitch, hello. Everybody in chat saying hello. Hello, everybody, over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. That's where we record live now. We used to do this show as an internet radio show for many years, and we sent in the cancellation notice for our radio station today. So we're not doing any kind of like big blowout on the radio feed. It's just going to kind of just like silently turn off in the next couple days or something like that. And then we'll like stop, like remove the player from the website and stuff. But we're on Twitch now. We're doing this on video, and I've got so many more things open, and I am going to forget something someday. One thing that I will mention is that this is also going to be the last show where we're going to really be looking at check-ins. So we had a check-in system on VOGNetwork.com since we started in 2012. We're trying to gamify things, trying to get people to go to our site so we could still get into places like E3. E3 kicked us out anyway and wouldn't let us back. I do appreciate the people that like use the passphrase game and would put the passphrase fit in. But tonight's going to be the last episode that we're going to be interrupting with the passphrase. I think OLR is going to follow suit as well. So we're going to retire the little gamification thing we had on the site. It was great for the time that we had it. It was something that nobody else has done, and we kind of see why now. But we hope that those of you who did it enjoyed it a lot over at VOGNetwork.com. Georgia's participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VOGNetwork.com. Use the passphrase, amount. So a little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Discord for you to call in. So this is a little bit different. If you missed last week's show, we changed things up. We no longer use Skype because Skype kind of sucks now for what we want to do. So we're going to actually be taking calls on Discord. We do have the capability to take video calls, but remember, this is a radio podcast. So don't call in saying, here, let me show you something. And I'm also not going to put everybody on video. But what you're going to do is there is on our Discord, which you can get an invite to at vognetwork.com/Discord, there is a green room voice chat channel. During the midpoint break, you can go in there and put in a note in the Bobby Blackwell Show text channel so I can screen your call a little bit. Get to screen calls. This is great. Then I'll pull you and I'll make a call, a direct message call to you if I choose you. And then you pick it up then, and then we'll have our chat. So Tiger Claw does say about the points thing, it was fun while it lasted and being on the top of the leaderboard. I am probably going to compile like lifetime stats and a lifetime leaderboard, and I bet Tiger Claw won it. He's going to win, he'll win a golf clap. That's what he'll do. We'll give him a golf clap. You can also comment on the episode if you're listening on the podcast feed. You can comment on the website. That's not going away yet. We do have a comment section. Or you can comment on Discord. So we're hoping that we'll get some of you guys on there. But we're kind of consolidating everything down to Discord now, which is kind of scary, putting all your eggs in one basket. But it's stable right now. So also, I will go ahead and say here, I'm going to remind you at the end of the show tonight, because this is the pre-Superb Owl edition of the show. We can't say the real term for marketing purposes because we haven't paid for the license for the trademark. But that is one of the few times a year, sometimes the only time a year, I get to see certain of my friends. And we get together and drink and not watch what's on TV except like when they're promoting something. So I am not going to be here next week. OLR is still going to be here. So if you don't care about the sports balls, then you're still going to have content. You're just going to have to wait an hour, and you'll have OLR. So I will remind you that at the end of the show as well. But there is no show next week. And yes, it is in Atlanta this week. I am not going down to the game. I will say, I was approached to be in the halftime show. I turned it down this year, but I was actually was a performer in the halftime show in 2000, which was a big Disney ad for Epcot Center and their Millennium Celebration. It was, and I was one of the stationary drummers. They call us set drummers, which doesn't make sense because we didn't play drum set. But I was one of the stationary drummers. It was a whole bunch of high school and college kids. So I was years old when I did it. And it was Enrique Iglesias, Christina Aguilera, Tony Braxton, and Phil Collins. So technically, I've shared the stage with Phil Collins. And Edward James Olmos, who I didn't know at the time, but later became Adama on Battlestar Galactica, he was the narrator and stuff. So technically, I think my Bacon number is 2 because of that performance, my Kevin Bacon number. Not sure. But I've actually like gone back and watched that halftime show, and I still remember a lot of stuff. And Rob was like, you should do some kind of video next week and like maybe break it down and tell you about that 9-minute Superb Owl halftime show. But I'm not going to do that. This is a video game show. Let's talk video games. Let's talk about a comment we got on Discord. So this was a comment from Discord, and it was from Bull, who is he's in Europe, so he can't watch live because we're pretty late in Europe. So, but he did put up a comment about a comment. It was about like a side story I talked about last week. And that was about how we're getting desensitized to violence too much. And I kind of lamented the state of being desensitized. And because Tiger Claw said, yeah, it's just blood and gore and violence. I'm desensitized to it. I'm like, that's not necessarily a good thing. And Bull wanted to jump in here. So he said, while I've gotten quite used to movie and video game violence, I'm also exposed to real-life accidents with a lot of my blood. He put his "my" in parentheses. And it's certainly different in real life. Smells, physical content, sense of place, empathy towards real people in contrast to virtual video game characters. There is a distinct cognitive gulf between the real and the virtual due to the limited range of stimuli video games and movies can provide. Enter virtual reality. I played Budget Cuts when it came out. In it, you sneak around throwing knives at robots, and I just suck at throwing things, so I started stabbing robots instead. It hit me viscerally how violent I felt, and the actions I did started feeling emotionally cold. Also, when he kind of continues on here, that a big reason for this was because the robots and bipeds react in a very human way. When how they scream in pain, wail, and bleed in pulses as if they had a heartbeat. What I think makes VR different to desktop games is that the player embodiment and physical actions that it enables. I actually felt as if I was stabbing someone, and even if there's no physical feedback, the audio visuals were enough for the visceral experience. This makes me wonder what kind of desensitization VR can cause. Not sure I want to find out. If nothing else, we can track players doing visceral violent VR games, and if things get too out of hand, lock them up for thought crime. I don't like that. Keyword was relatively in there, I think is what he was saying. So I kind of get this because, you know, it's a little bit different actually being there and actually standing in front of someone, and that's why a lot of people that are VR evangelists, they want everything to be in VR. They want a Fallout or a Skyrim in VR so they can actually feel like they're in the game. And, you know, they're actually talking to the the NPC, instead of just walking up to them and looking them on a TV screen, you actually walk up to them and look them in the eye. And they'll, you know, if it's programmed well, they look you in the eye and all that stuff. So I'm right there with them. And that's what some people are really afraid of with VR, is that it's going to desensitize people even more than they're desensitized right now. But we're not there yet. There's a whole uncanny valley. Uncanny Valley in the consumer devices. I know that the military has been using VR for decades and simulations like that to try to train their soldiers to be able to be in an active war zone. But who knows where we get. Tiger Claw in our chat room does say, I don't know if I would call it desensitized, since my mind knows everything I see in video games and movies isn't real, so it doesn't affect me on an emotional level. Thank you so much for that comment. And if you want to leave comments like that, you can go to our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. He actually attached a couple of YouTube videos that he shot. And so if you go over there, you can actually watch them. But I showed them here on the stream, but they're in that Discord. So if you're listening on the podcast feed and you really want to see him play Budget Cuts, he put in some YouTube videos in his comment. You can go to our Discord and they are there. A game that had a demo this weekend was a game, Anthem. And this was, according to some people, the reason Mass Effect Andromeda sucked. But this is EA's answer to Destiny. And they had a demo this weekend, a VIP demo for people who really wanted to play it then. And it didn't go too well. So what happened was everybody couldn't get in. And this is something we see all the time with launches. And what I hear a lot at this time is, why is it so hard? And I'm here to sit here and tell you, and most IT professionals that actually work in a professional environment, they also know why this is hard and why this keeps happening. Because every multiplayer launch seems to have these kind of problems, or demos or stress tests or anything like that. And the problem is it is actually really hard. And it's not the developer's fault, because the developers didn't do this on purpose. And I'm talking about like the actual programmers, artists, blah, blah, blah. They didn't do this on purpose. I don't even think the publisher did this on purpose. But they also can't really control a lot of this stuff. And everybody's like, well, why didn't they test it? Where's the QA? Where's the QA in this? And it's there. I'm going to tell you, it is there. A lot of people will say, why didn't you learn or anything like that? The problem is, no simulation will ever prepare you for real-world testing. You can run things in a simulator all you want, and it will find new and exciting ways to fail on you. And we've even found that here. Like, if you've been here with VOG Network for a while, and you watched myself and OLR move over to Twitch, you got to realize, remember that first night that I was on and we had all like the Skype issues and all that stuff? Okay, I actually did a 15-minute test show. Didn't stream it out to Twitch, but I did my intro, I did the midpoint, I took a Skype call with video. Everything went great. And then it found new and exciting ways to fail the night we actually went live. Questbuster in our chat says, it's like the old saying goes, no plan survives first contact with the enemy. That's true. Dark Tetsuya says, the last beta I was in had problems like this was Dragon Ball FighterZ, or Fighters. I know it's FighterZ, but it's Fighters. The first day it was up, I didn't get a single match, so I'm used to these issues as far as betas go. It's also going to happen on long launch. And a lot of people are like, well, why didn't you learn from the mistakes of the past? You know, World of Warcraft had problems in 2004. Didn't you learn from their mistakes? And I'm going to tell you, they did. I promise you, they did learn from those mistakes. What's happening, though, is that we're finding new and exciting ways to fail. Because even though we learned from the previous mistakes, the next launch fails in a completely different way. And it could also be because of the new technology and the new demand. It's moved so fast, if not faster, than those lessons learned. So if they were using 2004 technology for a 2004 player base, they wouldn't have any issues. They would not have the same issues World of Warcraft did when they launched. But because it's 2019, we have, you know, a lot more bandwidth, much higher technology, you know, faster computers, all this stuff. There's brand new and exciting ways to fail. And you can't test for that. You can't run any kind of simulator or automated test to do that. You can do, you know, DDoS testing, distributed denial of service testing, and it doesn't matter. When it's actually happening, it's a little bit different. It's a lot different. And I have a saying in the software world that I always repeat that, you know, whenever you make something idiot-proof, the world will just build a better idiot. And that's kind of the same here. Whenever you think you've solved every single problem in a multiplayer game launch, you're going to get to find new problems, because guess what? You didn't know that other problem existed until now, and you're always going to find new problems. So I understand it's frustrating. This is a free demo. The game does not actually come out for launch for another month, I want to say. And, you know, they are communicating with players, which is good. That's what they should be doing. They should be defaulting to transparency. They can't say everything. But it's, you know, they should be doing the best that they can. And I'm not going to comment on if they are. I'm not playing Anthem. I didn't download it. I'm not going to. It's not going to be my kind of game. I only have Destiny 2 because it was on PlayStation Plus, and I think I played it for like an hour or two. And it was well after it launched, so there were no online issues. You could sit there and say, well, you know, oh, why don't they overestimate and just buy more and more servers? Well, that costs a lot of money. And this is a demo, and they're probably never going to get, since this was a free demo, they're probably not going to get as many people logging into the real game as they had this weekend. And for something that's free, it's kind of silly to spend a whole bunch of money on servers that you're not going to use. And you see this in MMOs a lot, and everybody hates it when, you know, an MMO's audience dwindles. And there's less and less people on the MMO. And then they have to start combining servers and stuff. Now, Anthem, I know, is not going to be like that, where because, you know, you just go in and everybody's quote-unquote on the same server. But that's why you don't overestimate, especially in an MMO, where you're, you know, participate on a single server, because merging those and stuff, it does not make things happy. SJ Wonder Matt says, you can't possibly server stress test hundreds of thousands of people logging in per platform. Each game and each server is different. And Questbuster does point out, February 22nd is the release for Anthem. The demo does look great. Like the video I've seen of it, and, you know, the people who were actually able to get in, it looks fantastic. It's just, you know, and they will get to the point. It will get to the point where it's going to be fine. It's just not there right now. And that's okay. Hopefully they, you know, learned a little bit. And I think they said they're actually going to do another stress test. They weren't planning on, but they were going to have another demo next weekend. So they're going to try to implement things during the week, and they're going to try over the weekend. So we will see. SJ1R Matt in our chat over at Twitch said, my game froze at three different points, loading screen and going through doors. I stopped trying at that point. I enjoyed the little bit I played, but will it make me get it day one? Probably not. The game is beautiful. I just wish I had a 4K TV and an Xbox One X to play it. I get it. Speaking of that, I am 4K and Xbox One X. You know, Kingdom Hearts 3, that's all I'm thinking about. And it's going to snow here on Tuesday down here in Atlanta, so the city's going to get shut down, and that's the day I was supposed to get my copy from Amazon that I ordered in 2015. Because they had the price really, I think they had it like for $39.99 or something. And so that's when I ordered it. And I was like, oh, PS4 or Xbox One. Of course I'm going to get it on PS4. Why wouldn't I? That's the main game it's for. And like now, like, people are playing the Japanese version. I'm not going to talk anything about the story. Don't worry. They're actually saying the Xbox One X performs just a tiny bit better than the PS4 Pro version. I'm like, oh, man, why did I get the PS4 version? But it's because that's what I thought I'd be playing. That was my main console in 2015, was a PS4. So I kind of wish I got it for the Xbox One X, but it should still look fine. They apparently don't have HDR in yet, so if you have a fancy TV with HDR, the game's not in HDR yet. It's just, I think it's, some people were saying it is native 4K on the Xbox One X, but it's 1440p, which is like half 4K on PS4 Pro. SJ1er Matt says, that day one patch, though, I wonder how big it is since it has the ending. Well, I mean, if the ending's only like a minute or two or three, it's not going to be that bad. If you, I will say, there is a theater mode. If you have Kingdom Hearts 1.5, 2.5, Remix, whatever, on PS4, there is a free DLC that is the theater mode for Kingdom Hearts, which basically means you watch all the cutscenes. You can get all the cutscenes. That download is 10 gigs, and that's every cutscene in Kingdom Hearts 1. So it should not be that much. But also, I think like the base game itself, I think somebody said it was like 37 gigs. So it's not a big game. It's not going to destroy your bandwidth cap. ActDeft in our chat said, I pre-ordered copies for both consoles. Yeah, I wish I did that now. Mostly because my brother and I want to play it, one for me on PS4 and one for him on Xbox One. But I also reserved them on Amazon back in 2015 when they had them for $40 each. That's when I did it. And so it finally comes Tuesday, maybe, because this city shuts down when it snows, and we're going to get 2 to 3 inches of snow, and the low is going to be 11. I can't remember the last time it was 11 degrees here in Atlanta. Like, even when we had snowpocalypse, I think it only got down to the 20s. Anyway, we don't want to talk about the weather. We're going to talk about more games. Bethesda strikes again, but they actually have a valid complaint this time. Variety reports that the Westwood Mobile game, so game based on Westwood, Westworld. Like I said, Westwood Mobile. I'm like, Command and Conquer? What? Westworld, which is the HBO show based on the old novel, which is also has the there was an old Charlton Heston movie, I think, in the 70s. Was that who it was? I don't remember. But it was a movie in the 70s I didn't watch either. But it is going away. The Westworld Mobile, not Westwood Studios, game produced by... It was Yul Brynner, by the way, was the movie. The game, though, was not produced by Yul Brynner. Who was the Man in Black. It was produced by Warner Brothers, and Behavior Interaction has now been removed from app stores after a related copyright infringement lawsuit from game studio Bethesda was reported by both parties to be amicably settled. There are a few details of the specifics of the settlement, which was filed on December 12th, but the extremely brief filing states that Bethesda dismisses all claims with prejudice, meaning they cannot file a lawsuit for the same reason again. Neither party is responsible for the other's fees and costs regarding the port process either. Over a month later, on January 15th, Westworld Mobile was pulled from the iTunes App Store and Google Play stores. The game will be fully shut down for users on April 16th. According to a statement that appears in-game and on the game's Twitter account, players will not be able to buy any more in-game currency as of now, and those that own such have until the game's full closure to use it. The corresponding lawsuit filed by Bethesda in June of 2018 alleged that the developers of their Westworld, not Westwood, game heavily plagiarized the code of Bethesda's similar mobile game, Fallout Shelter. The lawsuit cited a number of visual assets, gameplay parallel, and replicable bugs present in both Westworld Mobile and Fallout Shelter. That is the most Bethesda thing ever, by the way. To say, hey, you copied our game, we know because the bugs are there, and we know what bugs they are. Behavior Interactive, the mobile game studio that worked in collaboration with Warner Brothers for Westworld, also worked with Bethesda to develop Fallout Shelter. In the legal complaint, Bethesda claims that Behavior breached their contract for Fallout Shelter by reusing the code and assets for their Westworld game, and that Warner Brothers is at fault as well. Quote, Behavior illegally used the same copyrighted source code from Fallout Shelter to develop Westworld and copied Fallout Shelter's game design, art, animations, gameplay features, and other elements, unquote. And then they continue, quote, as a result of Behavior and Warner Brothers' unlawful conduct, Westworld is a blatant ripoff of Fallout Shelter with largely superficial cosmetic changes, unquote. So both parties settled, and there was a small joint press release, quote, Bethesda Softworks and Behavior Interactive jointly announced today that the parties have amicably resolved the lawsuit Bethesda brought against Behavior and others related to the Fallout Shelter and Westworld mobile games. ActDev says, dunno if this is irony or something else. Rob Roberts said, this whole time with the Westwood talk, I thought Bobby was going to talk about Command & Conquer and the new backwards compatibility. It is backwards compatible on the Xbox One now. So you can play Command & Conquer Xbox 360 games on your Xbox One if you own them, either in disc form or if you ever purchase them from Xbox Live. See, Microsoft does it both ways. Everybody hates Microsoft, but they're like, oh, you want to play this Xbox 360 game in your Xbox One and you have the disc? Stick the disc in there and we will let you play it. But Microsoft's evil, and Sony and Nintendo and Sony, everybody loves. Kaijudo says, this Westworld looks better than Fallout Shelter. I think it was made after Fallout Shelter. That would be why. But the reason that this is a valid complaint from Bethesda is because they actually copied source code, and you can't do that in any kind of software development. When you're a contractor doing software development, you can't. You can't just wholesale copy source code like that. And you really shouldn't be developing anything that is similar to what you've already developed before. So in my day job, I actually am a software consultant. So I work for a company, and we basically build software for other companies. And we actually do have some very well-defined brick walls, where if you worked on one project, you cannot work or assist in any way this other project because they're competing companies. You know, so just because I worked over on this project over here, now we've got a big project over here, I can't touch it, because then they could say, oh, well, I wonder if we could sue that other client. You know, if the first client learns that I'm working on the second client, I could be taking some of the lessons I learned working on that first client and then make the second client better, and suddenly that's unfair to the first client who paid my company to do the same thing. That's the same thing that happened here. They probably learned from Fallout Shelter some things to do and what not to do. And so then when HBO wanted them to create a game based on Westworld, they used that knowledge and made it a whole lot better. And that is a breach of contract. That is actually unethical. That's why there's a lawsuit, and it was settled because they had every right to do it. So this is not one of those times when Bethesda is like, we're going to sue everybody and we're going to make money by suing everybody. No, that's not what this was. This was totally legit. Everybody knew it was legit. Everybody knew it happened. And now the Westworld game is going away. SJ Winner Matt says, I'm sure it also looks bad on your resume if you work on a team that stole code blatantly. It probably does. Speaking of code that's not going to be stolen by anybody, Metroid Prime. Remember Metroid Prime 4? It was announced at E3, and they're like, we've got a new... Here's the logo. We're working on this. Well, guess what? All that work that they were working on, it's gone. So, according to Polygon reports, that Nintendo has delayed Metroid Prime 4. That's right. It is going to be delayed and actually completely restarted from the beginning. Nintendo is rebooting the project and shifting development to Retro Studios, the Metroid Prime series original developer, according to a statement from Shinya Takahashi, Senior Managing Director and Officer at Nintendo. The current development the current development process has not reached the standards we seek in a sequel to the Metroid Prime series. Nintendo always strives for the highest quality in our games, and in the development phase, we challenge ourselves and confront whether the game is living up to that quality on a daily basis, unquote. And so he continues, quote, we have decided to re-examine the development structure itself and change it. Specifically, we have asked the producer, Kensuke Tanabe, to work in trust and collaboration with the studio that developed the original Metroid Prime series, Retro Studios in the United States, and restart development from the beginning. By collaborating and developing with Retro Studios, we believe we can make this game something that will meet our fans' expectations. We did not make this decision lightly. This change will essentially mean restarting development from the beginning, so the completion of the game will be delayed from our initial internal plan. We strongly recognize this day will come as a disappointment to the many fans who've been looking forward to the launch of Metroid Prime 4, unquote. So speaking of transparency, Nintendo is also being transparent. Good on them. But Dark Tetsuya was about just brought up the quote I was about to say. He's going to bring Shigeru Miyamoto's quote here. Quote, a delayed game is eventually good. A rushed one is bad forever. Unquote. I don't think that's the exact quote, but it is the quote. That's what it is. As disappointing as this is, it's going to be the right call. And Nintendo, the only people that are not going to like this news are stockholders and investors, because Nintendo is a publicly traded company. They would rather have a game come out because they know you're all going to buy it. Metroid Prime 4, it could be crap and it'll sell a million units. And they know that. Nintendo doesn't want to do that. So good on Nintendo for that. And good on them on actually coming out and just like stating, yeah, we're going to delay it. It's for the best. Questbuster says, sound like they tried to develop a new Prime internally, couldn't get it up to snuff, and finally decided to bring back Retro. And Spyro557 says, I'm glad the original team is working on it now. Hope it's good. It better be good at this point. But you're never going to remember the delay. If it is good, you're not going to remember that it was delayed. You remember Super Smash Bros. Melee? You know, that was delayed like 6 to 8 months. Hey, Breath of the Wild delayed like a year and a half. Grand Theft Auto 3 or 4 or 5, one of the Grand Theft Autos was delayed a year. You don't remember because they're good games. They're great games. So eventually it won't matter. 4 and 5 is what ActDev says. Yeah, I knew it was a Grand Theft Auto and it was like delayed like a really long time and everybody's like, oh, this sucks. And like now, like I don't even remember which one was delayed. Red Dead 2 was delayed. Red Dead Redemption 2. Nobody cared because it got all the Game of the Year awards. Persona 5 was delayed. Everything's pretty much been delayed. Kingdom Hearts 3 has been delayed 8 million thousand times since it was announced in 2010. It was announced 9 years ago. And Spyro557 says Breath of the Wild was announced years before it came out and no one remembered its delay. I remembered. Pepperidge Farm remembers. Tire Claw says, I know there are people that want Metroid to return back to its 2D roots. Well, that is Metroid. Metroid Prime is the 3D series. That's how they distinct it. It's kind of like Forza, which they announced is actually pronounced Forza. It's not Forza. Forza and Forza Horizon. They're two totally different styles of game in the same universe. We are going to take our quick overclocked remix music break. Not for you on the podcast. You have to be here live or subscribe to our channel over at twitch.tv to be able to see the video archives if you want to hear it. But we're going to take our quick break, and then we're going to start lining up people in our Discord green room to see if they want to call in. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com and twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
This is the voice of Marty McFly. When I am not traveling back in time with Telltale Games, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Traveling back in time or forward in time when these games come out? That'd be great. Thank you so much. AJ LoCascio, he did the voice for several of the Back to the Future games, for good old Telltale Games, no more, RIP Telltale. So if you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Or if you want to do video, contact me through that email and we can set up some way for you to send me video, either that I can download or I can, like, you can put it as an unlisted YouTube link and I can get it from there. Trust me. Either way, we can figure something out. There was actually some talk about Metroid Prime not thinking that the Switch could handle it. Handle the graphics of Metroid Prime because it's the Switch and it's a little handheld unit, right? Metroid Prime was a GameCube game. I don't think there's going to be any problem with the Switch handling Metroid Prime. So now I'm going to go ahead and open up and see what the line is looking like for Discord. So if you want to call in, I got to go over here and get this. All you got to do is join the green room if you do want to be on the show. And then put a little note in the Bobby Blackwolf Show text chat about what you want to chat about. Or we could just like riff on things here in our chat room. This is the part that I open up to everybody watching. This is where you get to kind of dictate what we're talking about. Or I can just like get really excited for Kingdom Hearts 3, even though I don't really know everything that's going on. With the series, I've watched enough recap videos. I haven't played all like 80 games or anything. I did play the mainline Kingdom Hearts. As you can tell, nobody's in green room. I did play the mainline Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 when they came out on the PlayStation 2. I actually completed the games. They're like the only Square Enix games I've finished, really. Other than like, let's see, other than probably like a 3DS title, because I think Radiant Historia wasn't Square Enix. I think that was Atlas. But you know, other than like maybe a 3DS title or something. I want Theatrhythm Kingdom Hearts. There's a 3. Can I get that on 3DS? So, you know, I do kind of know that side of the story. And I mean, I know Tiger Claw says you can watch some speedruns. It's actually more the story that I want to see. And so it's basically I'd want to speedrun all the cutscenes, which the remix lets you do if you really want. You can watch, you know, 8 hours of cutscenes of Kingdom Hearts 1 in theater mode. They don't have it for Kingdom Hearts 2. But I did actually, I got like halfway through Kingdom Hearts 1 on the remix disc on PS4, and I got through the first, I got to the title screen in Kingdom Hearts 2, which if you've ever played Kingdom Hearts 2, you know that's about 3 hours in. Did that Friday night, actually. Picked up Kingdom Hearts 2 just to see how it was different and stuff, and I did finally get the main characters. But yeah, like that's a Persona 4 style intro, or Persona 3 or Persona 4, one of those 3 hour tutorials and intros. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2 had that. Thankfully, from what I understand, Kingdom Hearts 3 starts off in the game. Like, there's no like 5 hour tutorial, but it, I think it was 3 hours is how much it took me to get through the tutorial. And I know that it's the intro because the logo for the game shows up after that sequence, and it's like 3 hours into the game they're like, oh, here's the intro to this game. ActF says we need a new Theatrhythm. We do, we totally do. I'd be okay even if we got Theatrhythm Dragon Quest, because even though I don't really know the Dragon Quest music, it's new Theatrhythm. Direclaw says most people who speedrun Kingdom Hearts don't even know the story because they only played for the speedrun. Well, that's kind of the, I was trying to, but I've watched enough synopsises, and I know, and I did watch like some of the other videos the remix thing had where they took like 358 over 2 days and made it all cutscenes, and you know, so I kind of, I get the overarching stuff, and maybe it'll fill in the blanks. I mean, Kingdom Hearts 2 did an okay job of filling in the blanks of Kingdom Hearts 1. As I learned during that 3 hour intro, where it's like, he's sleeping, he's having a dream, and it's all cutscenes from the previous game. Tarkalo says you could watch a full playthrough of Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 with the included cutscenes, or I could just play it. Because I have it. I have it for multiple consoles. I'm sorry, I pronounced it wrong. It's 358 days over 2. Is how you're supposed to say it. I am sorry. I watched the Kotaku video from, what is his name? Tim Rogers, I think his name. Where it's like, you should not watch any Kingdom, like, you cannot watch any reviews of Kingdom Hearts 3 because the reviewer's not going to know as much as you do. That is so true. I am not going to review Kingdom Hearts 3 because I will anger Kingdom Hearts fans because I don't know the series as much as they do. And I'll say things like 358 over 2, and they'll be like, ooh, you know, evil game journalist, even though I'm not a journalist, evil game media person not understanding games. He's such a casual, filthy casual, which I am. But, oh, you know, I'm going to look forward to it. I ain't reviewing it. I'm not giving it a score. This is what happens when nobody goes into the Discord, the green room. I know it's a little, it's a new feature we got going here. But vognetwork.com/discord is the invite link. And then hop on into the green room chat, which is where you can also test like your audio and stuff like that. And then I'll give you a call. We do need a Theatrhythm on the Switch. SJ Winter Matt says it seemed like a perfect fit for the Switch. I mean, there's an arcade game. I mean, it was on mobile. Like I had the iPad version. So like it didn't have to be on the 3DS, even though like playing it with the stylus is my preferred method. But I could adapt. I can adapt. Put it on Switch. Spyro 557 says 358 over 2 days is the most confusing title for a game ever. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you miss Kingdom Hearts Episode 0.2 Birth by Sleep Key Final Remix? The Last Remnant. I don't know. Aqua does stuff. I don't know. Kingdom Hearts. They love their long titles. That's why I'm surprised. There's like it's just Kingdom Hearts 3, and I'm like. Shouldn't it be like Kingdom Hearts 3.0, Left Side Sleep, Goofy, Donald No Heel, by Reverence Cross Key, with like Greek letters everywhere? Kingdom Hearts 3.3 Epcot Edition, final, very final DLC mix. I don't care. It's got Disney people in there. No Tron. Like, I was so excited when Kingdom Hearts 2 had the space paranoids. They had Tron. And apparently, like, one of the mobile games had, like, Tron Legacy. They actually had the new Tron in there. Didn't play that. But, I was so excited. I'm like, ooh, you know, young Jeff Bridges, woo! And I guess there's no Tron in Kingdom Hearts 3. That's okay. Dark Tetsuya says, I'm sure there's going to be the Game of the Year re-release with all the extra chapters. That's probably what I'll have to get on Xbox One X. I'm thinking about getting the Final Fantasy XV Royal Edition on Xbox One and starting over, because I never finished that game. I think I got to, like, Chapter 8. I didn't even make it to off the mainland. I didn't make it to that chapter everybody hated. Never made it there. And now I kind of forgot what I was doing after, like, 25 hours of gameplay. Derek Law says no Marvel. Yeah, there's no Marvel and no Disney, no Star Wars, because those are different sides of Disney. So they have a right to the Disney characters and they got the right to the Pixar characters. But that's it. Like, they didn't get Lucasfilm and they didn't get Marvel Studios. Also, when this game was started, they didn't have those didn't exist. Those licenses didn't exist yet. They weren't owned by Disney yet at that time. Bonds 006, I did not finish Kingdom Hearts. My then girlfriend and little brother finished the game for him. I actually finished it. I was very proud of myself. I don't know what kept me going, but I actually finished it and Kingdom Hearts 2. They're like the only Square Enix mainline JRPGs I've ever completed, because they're not really JRPGs, which is weird, because I'd much prefer turn-based battle stuff, and I've never finished a turn-based battle game. Dark Claw says, don't worry, when we get to Kingdom Hearts 4, we can expect Marvel and Star Wars eventually. Maybe. Maybe. They are going to milk Kingdom Hearts 3 for all it's worth, because they've only been working on it for like 9 years. So they're better. There's going to be more. They're going to milk this for all it's worth. We'll have 3.1 and 3.2 and 3.0 Pi between 3.1 and 3.2, actually. So Kingdom Hearts Pi will be between 3.1 and 3.2. And it's going to bring everything full circle. Why are you not laughing? It's because that was terrible. This is what happens when nobody calls in. So, guess what? Too late. I sat here and vamped for 5 minutes. You ain't calling in. So, coming up next here on twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and they're also going to be here next week. I'm not going to be here, so they're going to have this all to themselves, but we like to check in with them and see what's going on. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we're here, Bobby. How are you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
Good.
Nobody's calling me tonight, so it's just you. You're the only one that wants to talk to me tonight.
I noticed that. It must be everybody's off watching Rent live, although, spoiler alert, it's not actually live. Apparently, one of the leads rolled their ankle a little bit before showtime, and so they are using the dress rehearsal footage tonight. But I actually this is like one of those like stereotypes about guys like me, you know. Mm-hmm. I actually don't like Rent. Controversial opinion, but I don't care for it.
Yeah, I know that's the big thing. There is nothing going on in any baseball stadium in Arizona that anybody would be watching right now.
Oh, is there nothing. That too? There's that, and then there's some one of those movie award things is yeah. tonight, because there's one every week until the Oscars, so whatever, it is what it is.
Yeah,
we're still here doing our thing,
still setting up. We get to see this is the behind the scenes.
Loki just, I don't know if you are already on our video, yeah. But Loki just walked in like 2 seconds ago. So he's getting all situated, which
I am glad he's alive, because I was watching last night and I thought he was going to die a couple times.
Oh, with his DDR stuff he was doing last night.
It's okay. The heart rate monitor goes out all the time.
But I was just like watching. You're like, oh, I probably shouldn't do this song. Yeah, I'm going to do it. And then it's like.
Yes, that my feet still hurt a bit.
I saw a little bit of his stream, but sadly I had to head out right around like the time I saw you were going. I only watched like 5 minutes. So I think I left you like one or two comments. But you said something like you'd been going for like 2 hours.
Yeah, I did 2 hours stream last night.
Good for you.
I got exercise. Are you celebrating the new DDR? Is that what it was?
No, just because I needed the exercise and because I have all these edits I was going to play, so I figured I'd do that.
I got my exercise today. I finally dusted off Beat Saber and was playing that on PlayStation VR, so that's cool. That's a good workout too. So
yeah,
you're moving your arms, but
that's where I learned, you know, you watch any mods. I think somebody had posted in my Discord, they're like, is this perfection? And it's like just like flailing playing a South Park song, and I'm like, yes, that is why I don't use any Beat Saber mods.
It's a bit much. I don't think I'd really want to play those ones. I did try doing some of the note charts on Expert just to see what they were for fun, but that was not a good experience. I have some issues with Beat Saber, and I think the way my room is set up, like I think because my camera is low and below the TV, because I cannot get it to hold the right angle above the TV, but I have to kind of re-edit it because it's kind of below the TV. Like Beat Saber thinks my floor is like where my knees are. And that's the only way. And what I have to do, I have to lift up the floor thing, because I noticed that if you don't like have the boxes in your middle field of vision, when it comes to do the ducking, you'll be in big trouble because you can't actually duck under the walls. So, but the way it is now, Beat Saber thinks the floor is like where my knees would be. So it's, yeah, probably yeah. I just don't have the ideal space for it.
Probably.
But I was able to get through the hard note chart, just not the expert.
Yeah, I can get through the hard for a lot of them, except like the newer songs, the two new songs they added on PC. Those I can't do on hard. I have to go down to normal. But they added Expert Plus on the PC, so that may be coming soon to PS4.
Yeah, that sounds like pain.
Yes. So do that with DDR note chart edits, and you'll kill someone.
I wish the PlayStation would kind of let you do importing of songs and stuff, although obviously I know why they don't, but it would be fun if you could, because I'd love to play some of the old school DDR and B-Media 2DX songs, because, you know, obviously the game would not be able to support that stuff for real because Konami owns all those. But I'm sure somebody did it on PC. I'm sure there's one. If somebody did the freaking South Park song, then I'm sure many of those songs exist. Yeah,
I think there's thousands of songs.
I'm sure. So I wish they'd open up some of that on PlayStation 4, but I understand why they can. It gets into the whole like weird copyright
stuff.
Well,
they don't even open it up on PC. It's just people hacked in, and they're like, okay.
Yeah, true. I guess I forget how easy it is on PC versus, you know, a system like, you know, PlayStation or Xbox.
Yeah, and they are going to be making a, you know, actual editor for PC, at least, like an official supported editor, and so people don't have to mod in, because like every time Beat Saber does an update, it breaks all the mods and everybody gets really upset, and how can the developer do this? And we're like, it's in early access, they're still working on the game,
and the mods aren't officially supported anyway. Yes. So it's part of the chance you take.
So there's if on PlayStation VR, I did this, there's a Hikaru Utada concert, or two songs that are in PlayStation VR, where basically she sings the opening theme from Kingdom Hearts in Japanese, and then but she also sings the closing theme from Kingdom Hearts 3 that got released, the one that's not with Skrillex. She basically sings it to you. She's on stage. They actually filmed it for PlayStation VR, and she's there, and she like looks you in the eye and, you know, sings it to you. So if you want Utada to sing it to you.
Does she give you a little kiss on the cheek at the end?
No, but she does look at you like, you know, she's about to go away from you. She's about to leave.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right. I have to check that out. Is that like a free download?
Yeah, it's a free. Yeah, it's free download. It came out this a couple days ago, so it's going
to
be
on the lookout for that stuff.
Yeah, and it's a 10 gig download, but it's got two songs with three different camera angles for each one, so you can kind of decide, or there's a director's cut that will switch between them. So, So it was cool because
hashtag worth it.
Yeah. So Kingdom Hearts. I see you've got a poster. I was actually going to try to I've got a poster from my old days that I was going to hang up on the wall behind me, and put up my poster up, but then I decided against it.
This one's been here since the first game came out. Well, not on this actual wall, but I'm sure we've owned this poster about that long. I mean, this dates back to, probably the very first studio we were in, honestly.
Yeah, and I think
or
that,
when you and I lived together.
That's actually a wall scroll, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a wall scroll, so it's probably not Square Enix probably didn't see a penny from that, but somebody got it as a gift.
Yeah. So are you excited to finally see the end of the story none of us know?
There's a part of me where I'm like, I still don't believe it's happening. Like, I'm not going to be able to really be like, yay, I'm playing Kingdom Hearts until I am actually playing Kingdom Hearts.
I still don't know what the story is, so...
Yeah, I don't. I play Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 as well, and try to follow some of the side story. I'll be darned if I could tell you whatever happened in those games. So I'm hoping the third game kind of... They're going to realize people haven't touched this series for a very long time. So I'm hoping they kind of maybe reestablish some of the important points and don't, I'm sure people who followed the other games closely will be rewarded. But, for the rest of us, maybe if we could understand at least 95% of it without having to play the old games, that'd be great.
Yeah, no, because I just went through the beginning of Kingdom Hearts 2, and it actually did a good job of reestablishing Kingdom Hearts 1 and the games that came between. So even though you didn't get all the details, it was there.
But I think some of the characters, you would be like, well, this is a new person, but not if you'd played some of the side games in between, like Chains of Memories, I think it was between 1 and 2. So I think you would kind of benefit, you still get rewarded, because I know the hardcore Kingdom Hearts fans that probably feel, no, you need to know every little nook and cranny, and these games are for me. At least they'll be rewarded with a little something extra.
Yeah. So no, I am excited. I don't know what's going on in it either. I'm not going to pretend like I do. But it's like what you're saying. You know, I don't think Gran Turismo 4 ever came out. I still never saw it on store shelves.
It didn't. Everybody's playing Forza anyway.
Yes, and Fortnite.
Fortnite.
So for new people, the joke was I never thought Gran Turismo 4 ever was going to come out. Now, and you're probably saying, but Gran Turismo 5's out. So, and I've played Gran Turismo 5, but I wound up never actually seeing Gran Turismo 4 on a store shelf. When I went to the store shelves after its release date, it wasn't there. So I don't think I still have ever seen a box of Gran Turismo 4 on a store shelf.
No, you have to go digital, I guess.
Yeah. Yesterday when Matt's like, wait, that was a joke? I still haven't seen it. I still haven't seen it on store shelves. I've played 5, though. But I mean, Leisure Suit Larry skipped a number, so why can't Gran Turismo? So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
We'll be talking a little bit as well about the Metroid Prime news and updates going on. We're going to talk a little bit about the industry tonight, because there's been a lot going on, not just with moves to unionize, as I'm sure you've probably seen some of those articles, but also just how big this industry is. A lot of the sales numbers have come in for last year, December, and therefore last year as a whole. So it's kind of painted an interesting picture. Obviously, one of those pictures is of Nintendo's success, which we'll get into as well, but also just how big this gaming industry is as a whole. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I got to admit, it was a little bit slower of a news week this week, so we're going to do our best to fill some time. Dark Sakura will be giving us some impressions on the Resident Evil remake, because we talked to her a little bit about it during the Classic Game of the Week little segment we did this week. So she'll talk to you about that, because apparently it's so detailed. It's Mortal Kombat levels of detail. I think I'm going to pass, even though I played the first one. So,
all right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. You guys will be here next week, right?
We will be here next week. You'll be here, right?
I'll be here.
Okay, good. Then I'm not by myself, because I know Dark Soccer is still out for a couple more weeks, but we do have a return date for her, so that's great. She will be back at the show full time in March. We will be here Super Bowl Sunday. I have no real interest in football, and I don't think Loki really cares either.
Just wondering when that was going to happen. I was like, is that coming up?
Yeah, I know. It's like me with it's in the Oscars, too. I haven't watched the – I mean, again, you would think guys like me get really into the Oscars, and a lot do, but I haven't watched in 17 years because of this little thing, so I really don't care.
I care about seeing my friends, which that's the excuse that what happens next.
Totally
week.
Fair. Totally. I've missed shows to go on trips to Chicago and stuff to see my friends. So totally fair. You got to do what you got to do.
And I haven't always had a party. So I actually have done a show during the big game before because like one set of friends, they stopped hosting a party. And then like the next set of friends didn't pick it up for like a year or two. And so then I did shows, but not this year. So have a great 2 weeks.
All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. I still think you should do a tape show, but it's okay. If you don't have time, you don't have time.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out, so I don't know if I want to sit around Premiere, Adobe Premiere.
True.
When I could be fighting with my best bud, Goofy.
All right, fair enough. And not getting healed by Donald.
That's right. That's why I was talking about my best bud, Goofy, and nothing about Donald. All right, OLR is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks as always, Bobby. See ya.
So that is it for me. As I did state that there is going to be no show next Sunday night. So you can be here at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for Orange Sound Radio. They are still going to be live. I most likely will not have any kind of recording on the stream. So you're going to be without me, which is, you know, going to be fine overall. But I will be back in 2 weeks. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network's Twitch page, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show by emailing me an MP3 or a link to a video to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf or twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf is where I am. Not going to be streaming Kingdom Hearts 3 because I want to play that in 4K and can't stream 4K and, you know, Sorry, you play it yourself. Or you could submit feedback on the episode pages at vognetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. I know the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So we had a couple of people host during the show, and I'm going to see if they're still hosting. So we're going to look at the list of people currently hosting either auto or manual on their personal Twitch pages. Thank you so much, Veronica, Isabel, Rob Roberts, Orange Wright, Fifth Dream Today, Tiger Claw, AJ Twist, Travis Donovan, Critical Myth, Black Mamba 1977, Anime Jam Session, Act F, Johnny Wufi, Dark Titsy, Collision 28, and Hit Stun, and myself. And it just refreshed on me, so I'm glad I got all that in because it rearranged everything. So, yes, that's it. I will see you guys in 2 weeks. Enjoy yourself this week and next week, and I'll see you then. And go Rams. Go Todd Gurley. Go Dawgs. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.